It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, an organization specializing in therapeutic nutrition for many health conditions, including those associated with pain and inflammation. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I'm very pleased to join you this morning to share some of the latest, most practical information that you can use to feel better and have more energy. And joining me this morning as our co-host is Mary Hoggy. You know, Mary is a nutrition educator, a mother of three very active teenagers. She's an active exerciser. She's passionate about fixing and eating good foods for herself and family. And I got that eating in there, Mary.
That's right. I'm a good eater.
And people that take classes from Mary leave inspired to make changes and to start cooking. And welcome, Mary. And I know you've had a super busy week this week teaching.
Oh, my gosh. I made her
get up early this morning.
Yeah. And I kept telling my husband, if I can make it through the radio show on Saturday morning, life is going to be good. Because then I can go home and work in my garden all day and just relax. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I have taught three classes this week. Two, class one on the beginning weight and wellness series, which is excellent. And then I also taught balanced foods for balanced moods, which we talk a lot about depression and neurotransmitter health. And they were all three really, really great classes. And I have three more coming up this next week. So I really need to eat well and take care of myself or I will not make it through.
So Mary, before we went on the air, you were sharing a little story about a lady that had taken your other digestive class maybe a
right.
year ago.
Yep.
Just share with listeners some of the comments that she made.
She came to my Balanced Foods for Balanced Moods class this Wednesday, and she shared with me that last summer she took my gut reaction class, which is talks a lot about digestive health and how we can use our food to actually nourish our bodies instead of having our bodies attack it and get rid of it if it's not the right foods for our bodies. And she was sharing with me that before she took my class, she was going to Costco and she was buying the gigantic box of Prilosec. And she was on that on a regular basis. And just since that one two-hour class, 2 hours, she paid $30 to be in that class. She no longer takes any Prilosec. So think of the money she's saving there. But also, she used a few of the things I taught her, acidophilus at night, bifido in the morning, and just eating on a regular basis, balanced foods, protein, carbon, fat. She no longer has any acid reflux issues. So that's why I teach, because I see these people become as passionate as I am when they learn just how important good nutrition is in their body.
And it's just some of that very basic information, isn't it, Mary? I mean, it's just amazing.
It's incredible to me. And I hear these stories over and over and over. And I tell my students, you come back and see me because I want to know what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know we're going to be talking about pain and inflammation. And you teach some of those classes too, don't you, Mary?
I do. I teach.
You teach a lot.
I teach a lot. And I teach a lot because I love seeing the light go on in people's eyes and the aha moment and the connection they're making between what they're eating and how they're feeling. And before I go any further, I have to give a shout out. Hey, Brother Mike, hope you're listening on the radio.
I think one of the things that they really start to connect, Mary, don't you think that when they start to connect some of the sugar that they take in?
That is exactly right. And in fact, I say to them, you know what? Start writing down when you eat a meal and you feel really great, write down what you had. Because when you eat a meal and you feel really lousy, you can go back and say, well, when I ate this way, I felt really great and my knees didn't ache so much, or my hips or my head or my intestines, because people don't realize they have inflammation in their intestines. And they can kind of keep track, and that helps them along the way as well.
So, you know, I think as you are listening today on your car radio and you're driving to the local pancake house for your big stack of pancakes.
Yuck.
Think again, because I predict by 2 p.m. this afternoon, you won't be feeling as good. If you eat those pancakes with the fake butter and lots of carbohydrates and the fake sugar, and you know you're not going to be, no one feels good after they eat that.
That's right. Or a popular thing in my neighborhood is the Dairy Queen. And just, I guess, the first nice day we've had this spring, that line in the Dairy Queen was really long.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to know is that you'd be better off making some homemade ice cream with real cream or buying a really high quality type of ice cream like a Ben and Jerry's, because that Dairy Queen Blizzard has 48 teaspoons of sugar in it. And sugar equals inflammation, and kids get it as well. So not only do you not want to be feeding yourself that kind of sugar, you shouldn't be feeding it to your children either. And if you stop eating that way, you may not need the cortisone shot in your knee or your shoulder or your hip. anyway, so get on the right track with us and learn some really good nutrition.
So what we're trying to say is eating foods high in processed carbs and sugar actually increases pain and inflammation. In fact, research reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition 2002 found a correlation between high glycemic, that just means high sugar foods, and high sensitive C-reactive protein. So what does that mean? It means that the CRP, that's a C-reactive protein, is a measurement of the amount of inflammation in your blood vessels. And you may be surprised, but that is the leading cause of heart disease, inflammation.
So, and what do people normally think is the leading cause of heart disease?
Cholesterol. And we're going to be talking about that next week, I think. I'm talking about that with Cassie next week.
Right.
But basically, you know, high sugar foods such as muffins, cereal bars, pizza. I bet people are shocked when they think of pizza as being high sugar. But a couple of pieces of pizza has probably about 12 teaspoons of sugar.
Right. And it's, you know, a lot in the crust. But
yes.
Other things that are on there as well.
Well, they actually put sugar in the crust to make it kind of
rise.
Puff up.
Yep.
Yeah.
For
And of course, we know that pancakes is high sugar. We know that French fries, again, and all those lead to inflammation, and inflammation leads to pain.
That's right. And, you know, when people come to my classes and you mention sugar, they may think of cookies and cakes and donuts and, you know, sweet treats. But there's a lot of other things that give pain and inflammation in your body, and grains can be a huge thing like that. I know a lot of people just think they have inflammation in their joints, but actually you have it everywhere. And my daughter was diagnosed at 18 months with asthma, and asthma is an inflammation that restricts your airways and gives you a hard, makes you have trouble breathing.
So she was diagnosed at 18 months with asthma.
18 months, and that's when they started putting her on medication, was 18 months. And so from age 18 months until she was 12 years old, she was on asthma medication, and she was on 5. And she wasn't even severe asthmatic. She was called mild or intermittent, seasonal, if she exercised or if it was cold outside. And so until I came to see Dar at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, she was really having to be on all this medication. She had very, very high anxiety, and I just didn't know what to do anymore. So I sought the help of Dar at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, and she told me a lot of things, but what she told me was my daughter's body was not handling grain carbs very well, and because of all the medications she was on, that was also playing a big factor in her anxiety and her weight issue. And so just by changing her diet, we could get her off all those medications. And we've done that. Now she's, for 5 years, has not been on any medications for asthma and hasn't had trouble with it. Carried an expired inhaler around for 2 years. And she kept thinking, what if I need it? And I said, you don't need that. You just need to eat well.
That's right.
So we put some protein and some good fat in her diet, and we took out all of the bread carbs except for one serving a day of grain,
And so you just basically, her asthma went away.
Her asthma went away because the inflammation in her lungs.
But what about the anxiety?
So that's the other interesting thing is the anxiety. We had been taking her to see specialists for anxiety since she was 5 years old. And it was all this talk therapy, biofeedback, relaxation therapy. And one of the therapists gave her a Coke and a candy bar when she walked through the door. Well, guess what that does to your anxiety? It shoots it right through the roof. And she didn't want to be there anyway. And so when we started having her eat better, guess what? Her anxiety went away. And after 24 hours, she said, Mom, I've never felt this good in my whole life. And I just about hit the floor.
And how old was she then, Mary?
She was 12.
Yes.
And she is now 17. And she has been the leader of the section in her marching band. She has been able to speak to children about drug resistance. It's amazing. But at 12 years old, she said to me, remember all those doctors you used to make me go to? And I said, yeah, the ones you hated. And she said, yeah, because she's not a big talker anyway. Not like her mother. And she said, who would have thought all I really needed was some good food? And I thought, you know what?
What a wise woman.
If a 12-year-old can get that, anybody can do this.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's that easy.
She actually, Mary, she sounds just a little bit like my granddaughter, Willow, because Willow has that wisdom, too, about her food. And she's six. So, you know, it's amazing.
You know what I think? You know, we teach adults on a regular basis. But the adults need to be teaching their children and their grandchildren because children are smart.
They are.
And they get it and they absorb things like a sponge. Mm-hmm. And so I have taught my kids and now they know better.
Right. So we know that I think most people kind of realize that asthma is a result of inflammation. But would you guess that acne is a result of inflammation? And more people, teenagers, young women, just amazing, in their 30s are experiencing acne. And, you know, most of the time they go for medical treatment for acne and they prescribe them antibiotics.
Accutane. Yep.
But we believe the first treatment should be a sugar-free diet. In fact, for many people, just cutting out that soda, the candy bars, it just might be enough to stop the outbreaks of acne.
And, Dar, do you think that the high fructose corn syrup in those things is the culprit? Is that even worse than regular sugar?
Well, I think it's for sure we're taking in much more sugar than we ever have in the past. I think, you know, we teach about this in class often, and we're consuming 154 pounds of sweeteners, sugars, a year.
And somebody's eating our share.
Yes, that's for sure. And sometimes I don't want them to.
That's right. And people in my classes are shocked to see that statistic, 154 pounds of sugar per person per year in the United States.
And we used to, you know, 100 years ago, it used to be 2 pounds. And
oh
so that's
gosh.
The difference.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break, Mary. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. If you're experiencing inflammation, we would recommend including a fatty fish such as, you know, wild-caught salmon, sardines, mackerel, and daily to reduce the inflammation. Now, if eating these types of fish is not in your lifestyle, then we recommend adding 3 to 6 omega-3 soft gel caps daily, you know, one or two with every meal. So if you have questions today about inflammation, give us a call. It is 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud. FM 107.1.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound.
Hey, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Mary Hauge, nutrition educator, and I am here with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist, and we're discussing the food connection to inflammation. So if you're just getting out of bed and you're feeling a little achy this morning, you need to stop what you're doing and listen. Dar just recommended fish oil. Fish oil pills, as you may be aware, are omega-3, and they're one of the first steps to reduce inflammation all throughout your body. Then you have to ask the question, are all fish oils the same? Well, they're really not. You want a good pharmaceutical grade. One of the first considerations of fish oil, that it must be fresh. It goes rancid very easily. As soon as it's exposed to light, I keep mine in the refrigerator, actually. So freshness carries with it a premium price. Oil that has been sitting around for a while is much less expensive, and suppliers of pharmaceutical-grade omega-3 essential fatty acids select oil for its freshness and the fact that it's free of mercury, lead, dioxin, and PCBs. So in reality, you generally get what you pay for, like yep. everything else.
Yep, that's true.
And if it's very inexpensive, you no doubt are getting old fish oil. And what I tell my students is you'd be better off taking a pharmaceutical grade every other day than a cheap, non-absorbable grade or rancid grade every day.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're wasting your money.
Yep. That's a wonderful advice. Mary, you have great advice for people.
I've been doing this a while. Can you tell?
So we have a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today? Annette? Hello, Annette?
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi. I left a question about digestion and or the eating yogurt.
Yes.
With the bifidobacteria and the inflammation.
Yes.
Oh, that can help. I eat the Nancy's.
Okay, that's great
yeah,
yogurt.
Excellent.
Excellent. And it's high in bifidobacteria. Does it help you as far as your digestion is concerned? Annette? Hello?
Hello.
Does that help? Maybe you're on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Does the yogurt help you?
Right.
Okay.
Those bacteria and the acidophilus help.
Okay. You know, I think what we're kind of cutting up, we're kind of losing Annette on her cell phone, but, you know, what she's saying is basically if you take a yogurt that has good bacteria, like the bifidobacteria, like Nancy's, and that's an organic yogurt, and now there's a kicker to all this, if you don't have a sensitivity to dairy products, and there are some people that do have sensitivities to dairy products, and then the
like
yogurt
me.
Would actually cause more inflammation. But for most of us, it aids our digestion and is very beneficial. So mm-hmm. I think she's found a nice solution to that. And so we thank you for the call this morning. And I hope that was what we were trying to lead to.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. And you have to know that you are not going to get good beneficial bacteria in things like Yoplait with artificial sweetener and sugar added and no fat. So you got to stick to a good whole fat, organic is great, plain yogurt, and then add your own fruit and some sweetener.
In fact, Mary, I've just flipped on the TV just for a second this morning before I came to the show, and they were advertising, of course, Yoplait yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, this was kind of interesting. I think if people really looked at the commercials, because they were showing a fruited Yoplait yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that has, I believe, 33 or 34 grams of carbohydrates in that little, just one little container of yogurt.
It's about a half a cup or something. It's just small.
It's 6 ounces. And so that say if it has 33, 34 grams of carbohydrate, that's about 8.5 teaspoons of sugar.
Yep.
And it showed that lady eating it, finishing it, and then saying, I want more. So she goes back and so we know that sugar is addicting.
Oh, my gosh,
and
yes.
Not only is it addicting, it causes inflammation.
That's right.
So.
So, and, you know, it's funny because a lot of people will go to a movie and they cannot pass by the concession stand at the movie. And one of the reasons is the smells from the popcorn and whatever's cooking draws them in. But did you know when you buy that large box of dots at the movie theater, you're actually getting 222 grams of carbohydrates or 55.5 teaspoons of sugar in that box.
55.5 teaspoons of sugar.
Right. So kids are very smart and they're very easily educated. And so as adults, we need to start passing this information on to our kids. And I did just that when I started with Weight and Wellness. Because my children were 8, 10, and 12, and I really felt like it was time that they understood nutrition. So I taught them this simple formula. You take the total carbohydrates on the back of anything you are eating and drinking, not the total sugar count, but the total grams of carbohydrates. You divide that by 4, and that tells you how many teaspoons of sugar you are consuming. So So lo and behold, we are in the grocery store with my three little kids, and one of them picked up a box of something and said, "Mom, if I ate this, I'd get 10 teaspoons of sugar in one serving." And I said, "Honey, that's why we don't buy that." And I don't even remember if it was what it was at this point, but I thought, you know what? Kids are smarter than you give them credit for, and they can learn this information, and we will be a healthier society if we start bringing up healthy children.
Well, you know, when you talk, Mary, when you talk about 55 teaspoons of sugar, that's more than a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
And if you just sat around and measured that out. But, you know, as adults, you know, we're kind of not so far behind as kids in some of these nutritional habits. This is one. And I just had a client that had this experience. One piece of lemon pie at a local restaurant has 58 grams of carbohydrates. Well, that's 19, 20 teaspoons of mm-hmm. sugar. And she was saying, well, I was eating it and I wasn't even thinking about it. But next day, I had terrible inflammation in my knees. And she was in misery for the next couple of days.
Right.
Just because she had had that lemon pie. She said, "Well, I was talking to a friend and I didn't even realize what I was doing until I'd finished it." And she said, "It's a habit that I don't do now, usually, but it caught her."
Right.
But it really caught her with pain and inflammation for the next day then.
And what I find is when you start to remove some of these things from your diet, and you happen to slip in a piece here or there, you actually get the double whammy because your body no longer likes the way it felt before, and it doesn't want to go back there. So beware of that, too. When you start eating better, your body actually accepts it. For myself, I am gluten and dairy intolerant, which people often think is impossible. But believe me, I eat very well, and I don't feel deprived at all. I actually get inflammation in my intestine. And people don't think of inflammation being in your intestine, mostly in your joints. But I had a stomach ache for 25 years because I had inflammation in my intestine, and the doctor told me it was acid reflux when I was in my 20s. And I was on Zantac for just a short amount of time. I wasn't very smart back then, so I can't imagine why I went off of it. But for some reason, I did. And I lived with the stomach ache for 25 years thinking everybody got a stomach ache after they ate.
Yes.
Isn't that silly?
Yes, it is silly.
If you have a stomach ache after you eat, that's not normal. So when I learned to give up gluten and dairy, I had no stomach ache, and I have no stomach ache today. And it actually went away for me in 24 hours. So I was very lucky because it can take longer to heal for most people than that. And not just the healing process, but I mean just to even feel better. But I realized during those years I was eating gluten and dairy. I was also not eating any fat, zero, nothing, reduced everything fat. And I ached like I was 80 years old, and I was in, you know, my 30s and 40s as a young mother. And when I started eating fat and getting rid of gluten and dairy and taking out the junky fats in my diet and eating good butter and olive oil, my joints became lubricated. And I didn't wake up feeling older than I was. So
it can work. I mean, so it can work for people, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fat is so important in that way. And that also helps your inflammation.
So we're going to take another quick break, Mary. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. As many of you have noticed, all the news programs are following the swine flu story. And some experts, you know, they're offering advice such as wash your hands frequently, which we agree with. You know, reduce your travel, avoid crowds. But I wanted to offer some very simple nutritional recommendations to support your immune system. Stop or reduce sugar intake. Are you aware that a candy bar or a piece of pie can reduce your immune function by 50% for several hours? You know, those little Pac-Men that are in your bloodstream whose job is to eat up bacteria and viruses. Actually, they become paralyzed by sugar and literally slow down to a snail's pace, and they forget their job of eating up bacteria and bacteria and viruses. So the virus then can land on your cells and actually grow out of control very quickly. So stop sugar and foods that turn into sugar like chips, cereal, crackers, cookies. So if you have questions today about inflammation, 651-641-1071. And when we come back, Mary will share a very effective supplement that you can add to reduce your risk of getting a virus.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. As Dar mentioned before the break, we have a supplement at Nutritional Weight and Wellness that is considered antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal. So if you are worried about the swine flu, this may be something you could start implementing into your diet. It's a very simple extract from grapefruit seed, very strong, rather inexpensive, but very effective.
So one of the things that I recommend during this flu crisis time is I just take 4 to 5 drops in water with breakfast and dinner. It's just an extract from grapefruit seeds. So, you know, they just take a grapefruit seed and they squeeze that extract out. So it has just a little bit of a bitter taste like a grapefruit seed would. But, you know, when you put it in water, it's just fine.
Yep. And actually, you know, this helps with any kind of bacteria. So if you're getting a sore throat, you can gargle with this stuff. If you have...
But always dilute it.
Yep. And I know on the bottle, it talks about putting it on acne on a wet cotton ball. It talks about mosquito bites. I mean, there's just a myriad of things that you can use it for. And it just comes in a little dropper bottle and...
You came up with a really interesting thing that you use it for.
I did, and you know what? I totally missed my chance at being a millionaire. I decided that if this stuff was antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal, that maybe I would put it in my dog's water dish, thinking, you know, it would keep him healthy because vet bills are truly expensive. So when he was 2, I had him into the vet. And he had this plaque on his teeth, and on the back it talks about gingivitis. And I thought, if I put this in my dog's water, will it remove the plaque? Because they wanted to charge me $200 to scrape the plaque off of his teeth. And so I started putting it in at age 2, and every time I take him to the vet, his plaque reading would improve. Well, he is now 8 years old, and his plaque level is 0 to 1, which is barely anything. It's surface. And when we first started this, his plaque level was a 4, and that is pretty serious plaque. So,
you have not had to have your dog's teeth scraped.
I have never had my dog's teeth scraped, which he's probably happy about, Oscar, because now he's 8, and I've shared this information with the vet, and all the vet says is, yeah, I've heard about it, and I need more research done before I will recommend it. And I said, well, isn't this enough research for you? So well, I tell all my students about it, and they do it as well.
They've noticed
that their dogs are healthier. They don't get sick.
Yeah. You know, many, many travel agencies that arrange tours to third world countries, they actually recommend it. A few drops in the morning, a few drops in the night as people are traveling to these third world countries to prevent traveler's diarrhea. And so it's used for a lot of different things.
Yeah. And, you know, I've gargled with it when I felt like I was coming down with something. It's just a really very inexpensive thing, and it doesn't have any side effects, which is the best part.
It's inexpensive. It's about 2 ounces, which lasts you forever. It's about $14, and the name of the product is called Advantage.
Advantage.
And it's just grapefruit seed extract.
And I'm only on my second bottle in 5 years. So I use it all the time.
So we have lots and lots of callers. So we're going to take some callers right now. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hi there. You have a question for us today?
Yes. I've been 2.5 weeks without any sugar, hoping to sort of desensitize all my seasonal allergies.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how long you think it will take before I notice differences.
Well, I think one of the things I think cutting out the sugars and processed carbohydrates, because, you know, those turn into sugar. So you have
I'm not eating any wheat or soy either because I'm allergic.
Okay. And then, so are you eating sufficient amount of protein through the day? Like, you know, meat, at least 12 to 14 ounces of protein through the day.
I'm trying to get that, yeah.
Okay, and then you're eating lots of vegetables.
I'm working on more vegetables.
Okay, yep. Well, work on vegetables, yep, and put some butter and olive oil. And my guess is that in 2 to 3 weeks from now, you will notice a big change because your immune system will start working better, and it won't be fighting all the sugar. And I think you'll find a relief in some of your seasonal allergies.
Great.
And so I think you're on the right track. I congratulate you. That's a great.
Yeah, and hang in there because things don't happen overnight.
But, you know, it's like with Mary's daughter, she was able to, you know, after a period of time, she didn't need the asthma medications.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm off of all of my asthma meds, and now it's just working on the sneezing and itching from the seasonal allergies.
Well, sounds like you've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is, Jennifer, we have a supplement at our office that's called Dehist, and it is a natural antihistamine. And some people need to take it for a couple of weeks during this time. And usually, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 capsules a day, and that will help you get through this, you know, those 2 weeks that are really bad, and then you won't need it for the rest of the, you know, and maybe until fall, and then you might need it for a couple of weeks. But that is so much better than some of these other possibilities that you would to be taking some of these medications.
Great.
So thanks for the call. Keep up the good work. So let's talk to, good morning, Melissa. You have some questions about arthritic pain and sugar.
Yes. I had been, not in the state of Minnesota, but at a health expo out at a different state, and they had several arthritic doctors that were putting on this expo. And I had asked them about the connection of sugar, simple carbohydrates, white flours, etc., in helping to reduce inflammation and pain. And I was told that there is absolutely no scientific evidence to support that. And I just kind of wanted you to comment on that. And I've not found it, you know, articles on it in like on their web, you know, in the Arthritic Association.
Right. I think that that's probably, I'm sure there aren't, but you know, on a clinical basis, after working with people for 25 years, and in fact, I can tell you, I had two examples even yesterday because I had a lady that was just doing absolutely great. It was actually 4 years ago. This was 2005. She came in to see me. She had lots of pain and inflammation. She got on a really healthy eating plan, and she followed it and followed it and followed it and was doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started sliding off. And so yesterday when she was in, she was just feeling miserable again because what was she eating? She was eating bread and sugars and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And she knew. I mean, she was the one that says, I can't eat this way any longer. I need to stay with this, and I probably need to stay with it the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because suddenly now she has a serious autoimmune disease on top of everything, and that all comes basically, and she believes it all comes from what she's been eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think clinically we see it day after day after day after day, and maybe they haven't done the actual scientific research that says that. But, you know, there's other research that leads to say, like, if your CRP number increases, the inflammation in your blood vessels from sugar, that's pretty good scientific research.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does cause inflammation, and inflammation ends up causing pain. So,
and I have people in my classes that track their meals according to their pain level.
Uh-huh.
And they definitely notice a difference when they eat balanced or if they fall off the wagon and eat, you know, at a party with cake and cookies and pop and all that. Oh, they definitely notice. So I think in your own body, that's what you need to do is start writing down when you feel great, what you ate, and when you feel lousy, what you ate. And you can do your own little clinical research.
Yeah, I know that at times, you know, you have commented about the medical field not supporting, or they're off into their own little researches, and, of course, the drug companies have their little bite of the action as well.
That's right.
On all of this, and that's why that maybe some of the medical doctors, et cetera, don't know a lot about nutrition, number one, and consequently they would not be supportive of having any kind of real scientific evidence to support, you know, what you guys are saying. And so that's maybe one of the reasons, too, that there's not a lot of scientific information out
well,
there.
Well, I think part of it is that we don't have a lot of insurance coverage for nutritional therapy. And I think that once that starts happening, we'll see more and more support for the field of nutrition. But, you know, it's kind of, you have to follow the money, so.
Yep, you got it. Yeah.
So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for the call. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. So how can you eat to enhance your immune function? As we said before, give up sugar. You know, eat a double serving of vegetables. All kinds of vegetables. Eat 10 to 14 ounces of meat or fish per day. And if you can eat grass-fed, that's even better. And good fats such as butter, olive oil, nuts, avocado, olives. And also take a good probiotic. You know, we talked about bifidobacteria before, and that really protects the intestinal lining, and it helps you with your digestion. So we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Mary Haughey, nutrition educator, and I am here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and we are discussing why certain foods lead to inflammation. Have you made that connection yet in your body? Because you need to be paying attention. We have a great class called Foods to Reduce Pain and Inflammation on May 5th. It will be taught in Stillwater. On May 12th, it will be taught in Hastings. And on June 25th, it will be taught in Burnsville. Check out our website, weightandwellness.com, for times and locations. Also, this summer, I will be teaching that class at our Wayzata location.
Yes, you will. Many times, I hope. So we're going to take a few more callers here today. So welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Jody, you have a question for us?
Hi. Yes.
Hi there.
I have a speakerphone there. There we go. Yeah, I'm wondering about how you see coffee as an anti-inflammatory as I'm sipping my coffee.
Well, you know, I think that if you're drinking really good quality, like organic coffee,
yes,
and you're putting real, if you're using cream, real cream, I think a couple of cups of coffee is probably just fine per day without any problems. And but, you know, if you're drinking some of that other coffee, it does. It is growing with a lot of pesticides. In fact, they say that typical coffee that is not organic has more pesticide residue than any other food or any other product we put in our mouth, except if we smoke.
Yeah, second only to tobacco.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Way
so,
up there.
I'm assuming you're drinking good quality coffee if you love it.
I am.
Okay.
I have one other quick question. If you come in for a consultation, what kind of, how do you help us figure out what we are most reactive to? Or can you talk about the testing that
sure.
you use?
You know what? What we really do is we have people fill out, I think it's a 10 or 12 page health history, and we ask you just lots and lots and lots of questions. And by the time we get through that first hour, we have a pretty good idea of what you might be sensitive to. And symptoms are so revealing,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes more revealing than many tests, because many of the tests are not that accurate these days for allergies or, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know. It works, and I think as a nutritionist, you have to be a very good listener, and you have to listen with insight and knowing, and you can really help people very quickly that way.
Thank you.
So thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And we're going to take another caller here. Good morning, Sharon. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question? Sharon?
Oh, hello.
Hi there.
Yeah,
I know you've been waiting so long. Probably went to sleep waiting.
Well, I recently had a blood test for gluten sensitivity because I felt sure that I had gluten sensitivity and was surprised to find that the blood test showed negative, and it was a series of tests. Considering the fact that a few years ago I had sublingual testing done, showed I had a wheat allergy. So
mm-hmm.
I'm a little confused as far as wheat allergies versus gluten sensitivity, and I'm wondering how accurate you think these blood tests are.
Well, one of the workshops that we went to says that many of the blood tests are 90% inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
The blood test. Mm-hmm. So that means 10% accuracy. So I think the best test for your body is to go off of gluten. Wouldn't you say that, Mary?
Oh, my gosh. And I've had a number of students that had that same test done, came up negative, and said, but I know this bothers me. And there is no medication for gluten intolerance. All you can do is go off the foods and see how it makes you feel. And when they do that, their symptoms clear up. So I would say you probably had an inaccurate blood test.
And what do you think about the sublingual testing? Do you feel that's accurate?
You know, I'm not familiar with that test. I'm sorry. I don't know that test. So
that's where they put a concentration of wheat, and it's blind testing.
Yeah. It probably is fairly accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you have a wheat sensitivity, you actually have a gluten sensitivity.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. And we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. If you're starting to eat better and have a lot of inflammation, and you still have to rely on Motrin or Advil to get through the day, I would recommend a more natural anti-inflammatory called Caprex. You know, it's very natural. It's made from rosemary leaf extract, olive leaf extract, and an ingredient that's in hops. So 2 to 4 of those work great for most people, and it doesn't damage the intestinal tract as does Advil and Motrin does when you take a lot of it. So we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
So welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Again, if you're looking for a supplement that will help with your pain and inflammation, always start with omega-3 fish oil. And then you could add a natural anti-inflammatory called Caprex. It's Caprex. You can get it at our nutrition office, and chiropractors will also carry this. If you have fibromyalgia or arthritis or asthma or other conditions of inflammation, I'd recommend that you call our office for an individual nutrition consultation. You can set up an appointment today. We have somebody standing by for your call, 651-699-3438.
And if you really are interested in changing your eating, we're still, we have a 3 weight and wellness series of classes that are starting. Now, the one in Wayzata is going to start next Saturday, and that it will be at from 9:30 in the morning, so you can listen to the show as you're driving to class, and then you can have class from 9:30 to 11:30, and that starts May 9th in Wayzata. And if you have time over lunch, we have our Let's Do Lunch series, and we have it starting in Wayzata on Friday, March 8th, and Friday, March 8th in St. Paul. And so I know, honestly, if you take these classes, by the middle of June, you're going to feel better and you're going to look better and you're going to say, that was the best thing that I've ever done. So we, before their show ended, we wanted to give you some ideas. We know that it's so easy to grab a healthy choice or a smart one. Well, they've got a lot of carbohydrates and sometimes high fructose corn syrup, sometimes trans fat. So we wanted to give you some ideas of what you can do, how you're going to plan ahead and what for lunch.
Because really, it's all about the planning. If you have bad food in your house, you're going to grab bad food. If you have good food to eat, you're going to grab good food. So how about some chili for lunch? You can make it with lots and lots of ground beef. You can eat that with maybe a piece of celery and peanut butter. Remember ants on a log when you were a kid?
Or maybe do a steak salad. So we got lots of food ideas, and thank you for listening today. And, you know, really, food can be a problem, or we believe it should be your solution. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.